No, you know, honestly, I was expecting $40, $45. They were $16. Now, in my mischievousness, I think God had a little more fun, but he blessed me with a pair of Levi camouflage pants that were a lot tougher than the ones, but they were a little warmer too. The other ones I had are real lightweight. But anyhow, I just thought you might get a giggle out of Pastor blowing out his pants in the Tanger Outlet Mall. It seemed like there was something else I wanted to share, but oh well, don't remember. So a while back, God started just bringing something back to me that I had been thinking on for a while, and I just put it away. You know, when you got something like, well, right now's not the time, put it away, right? Joseph and Mary did it. They just kind of checked it for another time. Well, there was something that Doc Barclay had said one time about the scripture in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 where Jesus, well, let me get here. Let me just go ahead and turn my thing on because I know she's got me good. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what Doc said was, mammon is the god of this world. We all attribute it to Lucifer, right? The devil, he's the god of this world. No, the world was here before Lucifer got thrown into it. And God is one thing, mammon is another. Now, if you look up that word and you go diving deep into it, mammon means riches. Well, I don't seek riches, Pastor. Well, that's because riches isn't the fullness of the word. Mammon is something entirely, a whole category. And we want to look at some things here real quick, though, before I'm going to lay a foundation today. And that's all I'm going to do. I want to keep going, but God told me when I was preparing this morning, this is what I do and no more. If it takes 40 minutes, it takes 40. If it takes 10, it takes 10. It's going to take more than 10, though. So we got there, we say you cannot serve two masters. Serve means, and literally, being a servant or a slave. What is the goal of any servant? Is to please the one who you serve, right? That is our goal, isn't it? We want to hear well done. If we hear well done, we know we please the Father. We don't want to hear depart. I never knew you. So it's to please him. We want to please God. But there's this God of the world too. That is crying out to be pleased. And so many people are still working on pleasing that God. Let me get right here real quick. So when we look at God, we look at mammon, we see a spiritual being. And we see something that we can attain, right? If his chair is gold, I can attain it. I can obtain it. But I can't obtain God by holding him. That chair is a product of something, of a process. Something was done, something was gained. Now, God is entirely different. God is spirit. Colossians, Paul was talking to the Colossians about being a bondservant. He said, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, but as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. He's telling us not to be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. We don't need to worry about what other people think about our faith. We only need to please God. And as a servant, Jesus told us in Matthew, as well as he did in Luke, you cannot serve two. You can't have two bosses. You're going to compare them. One's better than the other. We call that trying to ride a fence, right? Two head coaches. How does that work out? Not good. There's one head coach, and then it steps down. Same thing in the military. You have one commander, and then it starts stepping down. You either really love that commandant, or you don't. You really love the president, or you don't. You really love your boss, or you don't. You're not going to be able to serve them and a boss over here that's good. A boss that says, hey, do you need a pay raise? Has anybody's boss come to them and asked them that? Just asking. I mean, I would love to hear that, but it doesn't happen. Can I give you a pay raise? Do you need more vacation days? Do you need more benefits? Well, if you're given. Never had that happen. I had one boss say, well, you know, I left the job and I said, this is what I'm making. Well, here's what I'll start you out at. I should have left, but I didn't. And he said, but you'll be right there in no time. 3 years later, I still wasn't there. By the way, you can flip burgers now for more than I made. As a diesel mechanic. So, the bosses, and I did have one boss. I worked at Mettler. I painted truck scales, and I had one boss. And as long as we did our job, as long as we made him look good, he was our big brother. He would defend us. He would go to bat for us. I got caught one time. He claims to this day he didn't see me. But we had this little war going on with the welders. And we would put, you know, the little red cap plugs that you put over threads and holes and stuff? Well, they fit perfectly on our air guns. And that's what they sounded like going off. And we would shoot each other with them. And we had little wars. You know, the welders would shoot us. We'd shoot them. No harm. Because we more than met our quota for the night. We caught everybody up every night, which is usually the case with a second or third shift. But one time, you know, Marines take things to extremes. If you don't know anything about Marines, we just go a little crazy. I thought, well, hey, I have access to these great big half-inch plugs. They're that long. Hey, if they have weight in them, they'll fly. And some of them would sting. And one day I had one of the other welders and he looked at me and he said, you have to promise to never shoot me with this. I said, you have my word, I'll never shoot you with it. I took a broom handle, that cap plug would fit over, had it welded to my gun, and I would snipe them. And then one day I was trying to hide behind some scales and I had this thing and I was standing in the middle of the aisle. And I got it aimed up there, and I'm getting ready to lay into that guy. And after the plug went, I look down, now here comes my supervisor. I mean, he can see me. But you know what? He didn't say a thing to me. As a matter of fact, he did offer me a raise to keep me. I just didn't want to drive to Columbus and work second shift. He was a good boss. Others lied to me about what I was to make. He offered me more money. If I stuck in traffic or something, he made sure that I got clocked in right on time. Because if you clocked in after 4 o'clock, you were late. I'd come sliding in at 4:01 or 4:02. I went and told him, and he says, I got you. Why? I did my job. I was pleasing him. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I remember him telling me was I did my initial interview with HR, and they put on there, remind you, I had just come from a union shop. And I'd been with the Steelworkers Union, and they put that on there. I go in, and that was the great big letters, previous union. And I went and talked to the supervisor, And HR told me, he said, well, Fred said this. He said, we'll give him a chance. I don't think it affected him. I came back, hired in. Like I said, I loved that guy. He was a good man. So I tried what I could do to make him happy, to keep him on my side. And when things got a little rough, I even heard that, you know, I wasn't the greatest painter, y'all. You need to understand that. We put 12 wet mills on. Your car has two. And we were putting six times that in one shot. That paint would sag and look so bad. I come in, they're grinding on my scales. And then they'd have to take a roller and paint them, and it just looked terrible. And then I got word from actually the worst person in the shop, because I did not like him. Yeah, they're going to fire you. And I thought, well, you know what? I ain't getting fired. I've never been fired, and I ain't getting fired now. I got down, read the manuals on that paint, read everything I could, started doing everything the way we were supposed to, did my scales. 2 days later, I come in, and they have one of my scales out. This thing is shining. It looks like a showroom car, not a run in it. And they're all looking around, and, you know, I just initialed it and stuck my tag in there. Tag was up too high, they couldn't see it. And they're like, man, this has got to be the best painter in the shop. His name was Church. This has got to be Church's. It's got to be Church's. It's got to be his. No, the guy got up there and he said, no, who's AW? And one guy was standing there who knew it was, looked at me and he said, how? Well, I said, first off, I did things we were supposed to be. We're 9,000, ISO 9001 certified, right? I did it according to the way we say we do it, not the way we do it. And that, folks, is what made him look really, really good. Because he did. He held my head underwater. Made me fear for my job a little bit. I mean, I had a little one. Joshua was, what, two? Or no, he was one and a half. But in it, I wanted to please him. So I could not please two or three different people. But I was able to please him, made him look good. And because of that, I was able to make him happy. Same thing with God. We're not to be men pleasers worrying about our faith. We're supposed to be God pleasers. What does God say about us? That's what matters. You know what? Melvin at work didn't matter to me. I didn't care what he thought, and I let him know in no uncertain terms. One person said, are you two brothers, the way you fight? I said, oh no, I'd have killed him long ago. I said, no, and I didn't realize we bickered like that. I don't know what, well, he was lazy. I'll just tell you straight up. He took credit for things he didn't do. Anybody know anybody like that? That was him. Anyhow, but we cannot be men pleasers and be God pleasers. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Again, this is talking about God. But I understand this concept now, having prior military service. You cannot do your job and work another job effectively. Now, I know guys who did. I had one sergeant, he had five kids. His wife worked. And he delivered pizzas after hours just to make ends meet. But he could not do his job as a Marine and go work a factory job because one of them would start to fail. And in this case, Paul is telling Timothy, don't get tangled up in things that don't matter. Make sure that you're pleasing God. You do what God is telling you to do. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, you simply just become a droid. Mm-mm-mm. No, you become a Christian. It changes you. It changes how you're supposed to be treating each other. Your salvation is secured. But you don't wrap yourself up worrying about all this other stuff. You know, you can still be coaches, but God still has to come first. You can still be a business owner. God has to come first. You feeling me? You can still do whatever, you still do your job, but God has to come first. And if God doesn't come first, you fear man more than you do God. Just putting that out there. Now, here's where we start to get into it. Hebrews 11:1, or as you were 6. But it is impossible, or without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. You start out, ladies and gentlemen, with a mustard seed of faith. Everybody says, oh, I got a mustard seed of faith. How long you been saved? I've been saved 50 years. Why isn't that thing a tree? You do know a mustard seed grows into the largest of those bushes. Why hasn't it grown? Well, the Bible just says that's all I need to start. If my truck is sitting out there on empty and the gas station is a quarter mile away, all I need is a quart. If it will pick up, maybe a half gallon to make it pick up. That's all I need to get there. But when I get there, I have to fill my truck up. That's what you come to church for. That's why the Bible tells us. When we come to church, it stirs our faith because it stirs our love, and our love fuels our faith and helps us to withstand. And that's why we were told that, and even more as you see the days approaching. You know, I know some of the younger generation in here doesn't have a full concept on what the Cold War was, but let me tell you what the Cold War was. Russia saying, we're going to nuke you. Cold War people, that sound about right? I was the last of the Cold War vets. We were tickled to see that. But it didn't mean our enemy was done. Obviously not. Still threatening to nuke us. Why? Because they're evil. They're godless. Not all Russians. I'm not talking Russians. I'm talking communists. But you can pray for them. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, first off, that he is. Do you have physical proof, other than your faith, that God lives? If so, I would love to see it. Because you've got to believe God first before you can say, well, look at man, look at us. Then you understand what I'm saying? You have to believe that God exists first. Without any proof, without him showing you, hey man, look, look at life. Look at what I've done for you. Look at the universe. Look at creation. Look at how I look out for you. You have to believe without any evidence. That's kind of hard to believe, hard to do, isn't it? Because the first thing the jury said, you know, when you go for jury duty, they say, you have to weigh the evidence. The facts that are presented to you. You won't know the facts until you believe that God is. And if he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means you take the time and you crawl in and you find out. That's why I say sometimes the best times for me to learn and to get closer to God is sitting in a tree. Doesn't matter if the deer are moving, it's just sitting there. Why? Because my mind isn't running on a million different things and I can look at the beauty of God's creation. You know, why is it when we decide to do our trim in our houses, we say, well, I want oak throughout the whole house. Well, why do you want to? Well, it's because it just looks uniform. It looks pretty. Go sit in the woods for a minute. You'll look across. You'll see the elm tree. You'll see the locust tree. You'll see the cherry tree. You'll see the oak back there, the maple. Do you know what makes that beautiful? The diversity. You go through my house, you're going to all kinds of wood. And I love it. I've got oak, I've got elm, I've got cherry, possibly some chestnut. I didn't realize what it was. I've got some MDF. That's really thick cardboard. But I've got all kinds of different, I've got beech. I've got all kinds of different woods, and it's the beauty that as I sit in the woods, I can see, God, you are, that seed didn't just fall there. You knew that in 30 years that tree was going to grow up and be beautiful. And God knew, look around at you, folks. Look at the diversity. That's what God, to me, proves God exists. Because Harold can see God through his eyes in a little different way than I can see God. So as I'm standing here telling you, I hope you're going through your head thinking, man, I saw God in this. I saw how God, you know, just the love of a mother and a child. Yes, there are people that are devoid of that ability. That's what sin did. But for us to believe that God exists is the start of our faith. You cannot deny God exists. Does that mean that I'm a giant in faith on some things? I'm still growing in a lot of those. But the thing you will never be able to get me to do is deny God. God exists. Well, you know, God didn't create this carpet. But he created a man who designed it. Or woman. I don't mean to be sexist. Well, you know, I don't know about all this, Pastor. God created the person. You know what, preacher? You prayed for me that my eyes would be healed, and they ain't been healed. I had to go to the doctor and get the doctor. Who created the doctor? How God does something is none of your priority. Get it? Through your head, God will do this, first off, in his timing. Ain't that right, Katie? I just had to think about when you said that, and it was just like, oh, this, and then 3 weeks. That's a lot of, you just don't even rush your passport in 3 weeks. They rushed mine, and it took longer than that. And that was before COVID, and before all this other garbage. But God's timing is perfect. You know why? Because God knew on last Sunday morning that Katie was going to be on that side of the mountain where she could see her mountains. And God's timing is about everything in your life. It doesn't matter, God, I wanted this 2 months ago. You weren't ready 2 months ago. I wasn't ready. There's things that we've got to understand. God's timing is his timing. He's never early. He's never late. He's got perfect timing. And if it's perfect, then you will be amazed at how smoothly it went. We've got to get out of our head and start trusting God in faith. God, this is your timing. I remember walking around in those very same woods that I hunted as a 18-year-old. God, what is wrong with me? All I asked for was a girlfriend. My poor sister, she kept getting friends who liked me, and they just used her. And that made me sick. I'd walk around those woods, God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? You know what? I'm going to join the Marines. I'm going to go see what I can do. I actually didn't say I was going to join the Marines. I said, I'm going to go see what I can do and join the Marines. It's a slippery slope. But you know what happened? I joined the Marines on Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days later, I asked her out. God brought me my girlfriend 4 days later. I'm shipping out. But she told me, she's like, well, I said, would you like to go out? Well, yeah. And I was like, well, when? Well, it's going to have to be after next week because I'm going to. I said, well, we can't prolong this too long. I joined the Marines and I'm leaving in July. God knew what he was doing. Shipped my butt to Paris Island. Got to see her for 10 days. Went back for 30. Came back for 4 days. And went back for more training. And then a year and a half overseas. Why? Because I needed to go somewhere. I needed to do something. I had a path I had to take. She didn't need to go down. I had to do it. So God's timing was perfect on all of that. So I do believe God is. He's already there. And if he is here and he is there, I'm going to be okay in between. And until I can trust him in that, I don't have faith. I don't have to sit here and say, I have faith that my brother Richard is sitting in a chair. I can see him. I can go touch him. That's not faith. I can see it. I can say I have faith that tomorrow morning the sun is going to rise. Because I'm not there. Well, Pastor, it's just a cycle. You ain't figured out anything with this earth yet. We ain't guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tonight. So how about we live like God exists now, knowing that he's in tomorrow, that should he tarry, we maybe get called up tonight. I don't know. That would be fantastic. And if it doesn't, it's still going to be fantastic. Because God's there. He's already there tomorrow. Where we're going to go with this, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm going to start showing you the real God of this world. We know God is a God of faith. That you have to believe that he is, or he was, he is, and he will be. This is something I wanted to point out. I'm glad I said that. We must believe that he is. What did he tell us? I am. I am. He is the same thing. Just from our side. He is. He is I am. I am there. I am all you need. I am able to fill your greatest desires. One of mine's the redwoods. Those things are massive. I don't know, I just like big trees. Maybe growing up in the mountains, being born in the mountains, I'm just a little less, they're mountains. But trees? Holy moly, trees, you can carve a tunnel through and drive a car through it. And it's still alive. That's amazing to me. But those Alps are beautiful. The mountains are gorgeous. If we do not believe that he is, we're never going to get, our faith is never going to grow. Because we're still stuck. Well, God, why do I keep facing this? First off, the devil hates you. You may have to wake up in the morning and look yourself right in the eyes and say, self, the devil hates you. You better be prepared. Put on the whole armor of God. That breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Put your boots of peace on. Gird your loins with truth. and take the sword that is the word. Self, the devil hates you, but he is. God is. He'll be there for everything you're going to have to face. Well, my life is just Shangri-La, Pastor. I'm just going la-dee-dee-dee-dee. Well, hold on. Isn't that kind of the way the trip goes when you're on a roller coaster? Click, click. Oh, this ain't so bad. Click, click, click. Dear Jesus, what did I do? With God, all things are possible. So we have to believe that he is. With mammon, it's a difference. There's something different. God is... Did I give enough scripture? No, I did not. It's actually back, I think, verse 4. It said, faith is believing that out of nothing God created the universe, the worlds. He created all we see out of nothing. That's like looking at a piece of wood. Okay, for us, here's one side of it. We look at a piece of wood and say, I have faith that I can build a chair out of that piece of wood. That ain't faith. It's talent. The chair's there. Cut it out. Faith is looking at nothing and saying, I want a chair out of that. That's what God did. Do you understand that? God held up the worlds that didn't exist. He didn't say, I'm going to take some nitrogen and what are kind of minerals and stuff that this earth is made of. The funny thing is, they're finding it in the other planets. These rocks and stuff. They're finding minerals. The same minerals that are here. Go figure. Same God. But God held up his hands and he said, all right, I want potassium. I want some salt. I want some, I don't know, whatever, other kinds of things. I'm about ready to start naming the garbage off that we eat on the back of our seasonings. He started saying, I want that. I want this. And he put it into an order. Folks, our core is molten. It's hot. And then there's another layer. And then we have the crust. We have the mantle and then the crust. And at one time, all these continents were in one piece. That's what Genesis does say. So quit fighting scientists that say the earth was one massive landmass. Because it was true. And you know what I believe? I believe at that point in our life, the earth actually wrapped in the middle, right around the equator, is what I believe. We didn't wear clothes. Now, God planted a garden. Adam's home was in the garden. He wasn't nomadic. He lived in the garden. He'd go out, do his job, come back. And laid in round in the garden. So I don't believe there was the extremes that we have, 30 below temperatures. You ain't going to survive that naked. Just tell you right now, I don't care how hairy you are. You're going to freeze. And if you were so hairy, let me tell you right now, the equator gets warm. I'm trying to think. I was 200 miles north of the equator. That's as close as I got to it. It's hot. That's why it's a jungle. God created man perfect. He created woman perfect. Perfect. And I don't mean just mature. I mean perfect. They were completely adaptable. Oh, hey, look, it's 80 degrees today. I believe that at one point in life, I think Hawaii might actually be the center I love Hawaii. I've never been there, but it sure is a great fantasy. Average temperature is about 75, rains for 15 minutes a day, no snakes. Volcanoes, kind of a downdraw. But think about that, how beautiful it is. And God created that out of nothing. That's faith. That's why it requires faith from us to believe that God is before we see. See, Paul believed God was before he ever saw Jesus in a vision resurrected. He believed God was and is. He just didn't realize what he was doing. God's way is faith. Cut and dry. Well, I believe that tomorrow morning my investments are going to bring me $1 million. If you've invested the right amount of money and it's a gamble, anybody who's got investments knows, it's a gamble whether it's going to do it or not. But if it's that way, it's not faith. Because faith is calling those things that are not as though they were. That's why it's faith when you're believing for healing. I am healed. I am whole. Why? Because that is not. My children are saved. You know, I had to think about something the other day, and this is off kind of off subject, but I just wanted to tell you, show you something. I heard one preacher say, well, we had to start a school because we were losing our kids as they left. Our kids were walking away from God when they left home. I can think of a lot of reasons for that. But you know what? And then I thought, God, I sat here and looked, and I thought, I'm trying to do the math. I don't want to mess anybody over. I think we have 1, 2, 3, doing some quick math, which is not quick in my head. I know for a fact we have one family that is 4 generations deep. And I think 4 that are 3 deep. There might be another one that's 4, and I'm just, my brain's. Folks, it's called speaking those things that are not as though they were. We spoke over our children before we had children. We had a dog. And we spoke over our children. And I loved what you shared yesterday. Ladies, you missed it. That's all I got to say. You missed it. She told me all about it. How she wanted her family to go to church with her when she was little. And they never did. But now here she sits, surrounded by her grandchildren and all of her children. And God said, your children are with you. Your family is with you. See, ladies and gentlemen, you have got to start speaking that. That it may not be right now, but you have got to speak what is not as though it is. But you can't go just speaking magical potions. That doesn't work. That's why you can't say, I'm believing I'm going to get $1 million tomorrow. How are you going to handle it? What are you going to do with that $1 million? First thing I'm doing is going out and getting me a Bentley. Well, forget that. You just blew half of it. And you didn't tithe. You didn't honor God with it first. You just went out and bought a car that you can't afford. Because, oh, by the way, the government's taking their share too. How we speak has to line up with God. There's so many things that on timing, I'm still learning. I mean, I'm still walking this with some people on some things. I've been trying to help my parents get their house sold all summer. One buyer failed to tell the people that he'd been off work for 3 months for medical reasons, and that he spent his down payment to live. Another buyer comes in and says, I got cash. We're like, woohoo, cash buyer, all right. Let's get this rolling. Can we close in a week? And then in a meeting with the other realtors, our realtor said, was talking about this, and one of the more experienced, she's 83, one of the more experienced realtors says, yeah, just so you know, I've dealt with him several times. He goes in, makes a cash offer. He doesn't have two nickels to rub together. He gets you about a week from closing and pulls out. So we pulled the plug on it. Then we get another one. Well, we want this, 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 and this done. Folks, my mom is leaving an entire house of furniture. She's already got her own furniture. She has so much furniture, she's had three houses worth on three floors. They're getting honestly left with the retail value of that furniture, about $50,000 worth of furniture. And we're like, can we not get this thing closed? This and this and this. Well, praise God, we close Friday. Thank you, Jesus. If you've ever had to play that game. Because then I got to get them closed on another house. But you see, God's reminded me, it's not about your time, Art. It's about my time. And there's a reason for my time. And as I'm standing back, and you know, I just talked, you know, our morning coffee, I realized, yeah, if it had happened in my time, I wouldn't have had time to do this or this or this. This wouldn't have got done, that wouldn't have got done. It's about God's time and doing what I need to do at that time that I thought I was going to be doing something else. So, okay, foundation's laid. Two gods of this world. There's the creator of the world and the God of this world. And we need to make sure, folks, that we aren't serving the God of this world, even though we have to operate in the realm of the God of this world. That's why Jesus said, be of this world, but not be in the world, but not of it. Makes a little bit of sense. And I hope next week when I really get into this, I'm biting, I want to just go blah. Won't do you any good. Because when you see what it is, what God showed me, because if I can learn something through a message as a teacher, that's great. But I want to understand it. See, I can tell my sons how to hook up receptacles and stuff. Comes to three-phase, you better talk to Johnny. I had an engineer standing with me when I did the stuff in there. I just did the work. I don't have that knowledge. And neither do I care to take the time to have all that knowledge. I understand the basics, and that's all I need to know. Anything else, I know people. See, you got to know people. I just don't like people. Well, that's very part of your problem. You don't like people. You got no people. All right, let's stand. My people stand. I got an experience. My wife got to work with me. You know, the opposite of faith is fear, right? I'm not afraid of heights. Heights don't bother me. What bothers me is movement, especially when you're high. So this week I rented a lift, a 45-foot lift, bought some metal, and went to the north side of my barn. So those of you heading past my backside of my barn, you'll see my rainbow-colored barn at the top. My barn of many colors right now. Let me tell you what. I can't tell you how many times I had to tell myself, you are not putting this thing on the ground and walking away. Because when you're 40 feet in the air like this, and you go to turn, and the beam that's holding you up is only that wide, and you got to move it a little bit. That's the motion I hated. All the up and down I could handle. It was that side to side. I'm like, you know, is this thing going to go over this way? Yeah. Just to give you an idea, my back, my legs, my stomach, all my muscles are so sore from tensing up every time that thing would jerk. I was like, oh. A couple times I actually had to just put my hands down. Breathe, Art. I do not like them. So you know what I realized? I wouldn't have been a good lineman. I do not like that motion. So I wondered why God didn't let me go to work. Sent me to the Marine Corps. I had to jump out of helicopter crap and down cliffs. I actually trusted the rope more than I trust those things. But I told her, I said, you know, I guess I'm going to have the faith that even though I may not trust Hawlett, which was a company that made that, I trust my God. That should, you know, it's bad when you start creating scenarios in your head. Okay, if this thing, if I got too much weight on that side and it tips over backwards, even at 30 feet in the air, I judged I could possibly land about 200 yards back in another waterway because it's going to launch me out of the top of that. That's how I spent my yesterday, figuring out how far I was going to fly if it went. But praise God, two little pieces and it's done, except for painting it. So, yes, thank you, Lord. All right, see, even your pastor has to battle fear from time to time. Your fearless leader. Hogwash. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, our job, our desire is to please you. Father, may we please you. May we learn and to trust you each and every day, even when we don't see the way. Father, even when we don't see the day, we're going to trust that you're already there. Father, I pray that as we start out in this message, Lord, that you help us to open our eyes to see the reality of what faith is and what isn't faith. Father, I thank you that we're moving forward. Father, we will not serve the God of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you have joined the bridge that made us where we can now separate. And we can walk in faith. We can speak faith. We can trust in faith. Now, Lord God, I thank you for all these people. Father, I bless them. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving miraculously in areas that seem to be shut. Father, and if these doors are shut, I pray that you open the eyes that people will be able to see why it has been shut. Father, let them step back from the situation and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.